So I know what you think, Guru. I know what you think. But I just don't know if you're ready for this smoke.
Now, back to Steinie and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, the Valkyries take on the Phoenix Mercury. You can hear the game right here on 95.7 The Game and on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. You can also watch the game on KPIX Plus. Pregame begins at 6:30. Valkyries right now, 18-16.
They need to see.
Yeah, right on the edge of the postseason, and Phoenix is a squad that is seven games above 500. Although they're playing 500 ball last 10. So, Valkyrie's been hot. Yeah. 7-3 in their last 10.
Yeah, dropped Sunday night. That was a hard one. They fought, but man, they got to get tonight. So, it'll be exciting.
Yeah, Ball Hall is going to be popping.
That's it.
As it typically is. Maybe I haven't been explaining myself well enough, Goon.
Why would you say that? Because you came for me last segment, but it's all good. But because of bow mail, like, I just told you how I feel, and that's how we communicate.
Oh, no, I mean, you and I kind of agree to disagree on bow mail. I guess I lean a little more towards the players and the manager, but if I understand, like, you lose 15 of 16 home games, it's hard to not point at the person who's just kind of managing the operation and say what's going on. And there's only so many times that person can say, well, my workers are not very good. Like, I need my employer to get me some different workers.
Right.
But my overall point is just, and I don't think that Ramos is in trouble yet of doing this. And I think he's smart enough to understand that he messed up. And that's why before the Padres game, he effectively apologized.
Yeah.
And said that he was just coming to bat for his skipper. It wasn't his intention to come down the road to the fans, but he did it. And my point is, That's not a battle that athletes can win. And athletes who try to win against fans, they're not seen in the same light. I think it's a big reason why someone like Kevin Durant is not seen as favorably as a lot of other peers of his who are as great of individual athletes.
And there's no doubt. And I feel like, again, I don't know Kevin Durant, Evan, but I feel like, forget what he says, his goal every day he gets on that platform is to try to sway, you know, some of the bad that he's already did, you know, by having verbal gymnastics with just regular fans and whom have you. So, again, when you think of players, regardless of how good they are, where they've alienated or they've been their own worst enemy on social media, it's been Kevin Durant. And, again, he could be listening like, Evan Goo, I don't give a damn, I don't care, but you've turned some people off. And so did Ramos with that statement. And again, like you said, he walked it back before the game, and moving forward, that it'll be a lesson for him. It just has to.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that Klay Thompson's last season in Golden State was the ending that he deserved?
No. But he asked for it Evan, we got clips of him saying, I don't care about the fans. Like, it got to that point.
Well, that was my follow-up is how much of a role did he play in that? Because I think that he is culpable. Yeah,
no doubt. And I think he would, looking back, I know he got the great relationship with Meg right now. He's in a good place. But the bottom line, Evan, I think he would tell us he handled that wrong.
Well, and this is that piece of sound you were talking about. It was after back-to-back nights 2 years ago. I think it was the Raptors and the Pelicans. They got blown out of Chase Center both games. I think Steinie might have been in the Raptors game, but they got booed.
Yeah.
And the question to Klay is about just that, them getting booed back-to-back. And here's how Klay answered that question.
Klay, you guys have been booed each of the last two home games. Obviously, you're not used to that. How do you handle that?
Are you supposed to lose sleep over it?
We're not saying you're supposed to lose sleep over it, but you're supposed to own it.
But he, and I'm not defending Klay, because I told you, Evan, I do not like that. But can we put the rat on the table, brought to you by Echo Pest Control? He was watching his own mortality, his basketball, everything that he built, kind of not go down the drain, but in warrior land it was. He was searching for the old Klay. So do you have a problem if I give him a lightweight pass of he was just – he having an outer body experience to where he was just mad at the mailman at that point about what he wasn't at that juncture.
Well, and maybe it sounds like I'm not giving Ramos a pass either. I kind of am. My point is, it's a slippery slope. Like, man. Klay Thompson, you're right. We found out after the season
man.
That he was frustrated because of contract disputes, feeling like he wasn't treated like the legend that he was, fighting, as you said, his own basketball mortality, and having to deal with things that...
That's heavy.
It sucked. It sucked for Clay. But again, that frustration, it's the same frustration that I think Ramos is dealing with when he sees on social media people clowning him for not knowing where to go with the ball.
First home run, and you said for messing forever up last night.
Exactly. It's been so long, and he's just been struggling at the plate. He's been running into outs.
Yeah, right.
He can't do anything right.
Yeah.
And he goes after the fans. Same thing with Clay in that same clip. They're getting booed, and his first response, I'm not supposed to care about these fans. Like, and you could kind of hear his tone throughout that season of, well, look what I've done. Look at me. I got four rings. I'm Klay Thompson. You know who I am. Like,
yeah.
That was the tone of that season from Klay. And I think it marred an ending to what was, now we all look back on, as a great period of Warriors basketball for him because he's a legend.
Yeah, no doubt. And let me just throw this to you because we kind of ran it by Shasky and Spadoni as they were getting out of here. And we heard the great Scott Osler on with our guys in the morning. And Evan, help me out, because you ask questions in these scrums after the game. You know what it's about on both fronts, the business. And it sounded to me Scott had a little regret, writer's regret, in regard to how that played or what they could have done to finesse what Ramos said. And it almost goes to the caller that called and was talking to you last segment. I mean, Evan, what can you do with a guy or gal's words that come out of their mouth like, you know, right or wrong, Ramos said that. There's nothing you can kind of do, I don't believe, to make it land or sound a little different. Am I on the right road? Because, you know, Scott kind of alluded to that. He wished he would have did this or that. And I'm thinking to myself, well, Scott, Ramos said those words.
No,
and you put them in print.
I don't think.
What do we do after
that? I don't
think
Osler did anything wrong.
Okay, right.
You know, I don't think he didn't take his words out of context. If you read the piece, it's all about the defense of Melvin. And then Ramos steers it in a different direction. Like, that's not Scott. He didn't say that. He asked him a question about something completely different than the subject that got brought up. I mean, that's just the way that I read it. Like, you know, but again, the whole point was to try and figure out if there's an issue in the clubhouse. And I don't think there is. Right. But this is getting play because Ramos took it to a different arena.
Now, it's interesting you say that. Just real quick, let me double back, Evan. Would you agree with me that some managers get fired in baseball and they don't have, and the clubhouse is cool. It's a good clubhouse, but they just didn't get the results.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would say all the time.
Okay, gotcha. And that's, I mean, what
those
I
teams
guess
are.
I would...
Those teams are god awful usually. Which the Giants, they've been playing poorly, but they're not one of the worst teams in baseball.
And that's why I believe where they're at in totality is frustrating. Because depending on who you talk to, and again, we all, what did Denzel say, opinionaires, we all have opinions, Evan, but the bottom line is some say, oh, they were overachieving when they were 12 over, this was supposed to happen. Okay, I don't believe that, but it makes me frustrated more watching this team, especially after you got Devers and what's going on, till you got to the point to where you got to the break or the deadline and Buster chose to get rid of the bullpen, you know, for a litany of reasons. But, man, I'm just disappointed. And for so much of this season, I've heard from managers, Bo Mel, the captain of the ship, and players, Evan, we just don't have the answers. Now, that may not constitute in your book or anybody out there listening, oh, there should be the guy should get fired. But who's to say if he comes back? And he might. I just was being real with you that I would be lightweight disappointed. Like, okay, if you didn't figure out what ailed you then – with this tier of talent, whatever realm you have them in, how are we so sure that next year is not going to repeat itself?
Well, what I think they're finding out through this year is that they've been mentally and physically fatigued. Like, they've been worn down over the course of this season. I mean, it's the dog days of August. And they started dealing with this in July, too. But I think that it's really hard to expect four or five position players to play like 150 games anymore, 150 plus, and they don't really have backup plans. Like they don't have platoon options. That's not the way this team was built.
But
and I think they're suffering as a result of that because they have no place to go. Like if Ramos needs a day off, Goo,
all right,
don't have anybody to put in for him. If Bailey is getting a day off, but then you have your backup catcher who's not great. Who's going to play shortstop if Adames needs a day off? I think he's taken one day off the entire season.
Real quick to that point, Evan, is that a Posey issue?
Yes. Yeah, he's got to find players that can help take and alleviate pressure off of everyone else. The only real guy that's had big time off of the position players this year is Chapman, but that's because he's been hurt.
Yeah.
You know, Jung-Hoo Lee has played a large portion of this season. They don't really have anybody else to go out and play center field, especially after you traded Yastrzemski.
Yeah, I was just going there, and then you got Matos, who, again, Evan, I'm not telling you he's Eric Davis, but it's just like, man, we saw him come up in a big game right before the break, hit a two-run bomb, tie the game up, and inept, everybody went inept with the bats, and you couldn't win that game. But, I mean, Evan, they do have reserves, and you just are describing what Steinie was stuck on, like, oh, they're so afraid or they can't afford to sit Ramos down just to send a message. And maybe the message, it's a light message, but the point gets across is, hey, you need to sit this game. But, man, we can't be a slave because we have nobody to put in left field like you do, Evan. And you'll probably take a step or two back. But is that lack of talent that you're going to be missing for the nine innings worth not getting Ramos, sending a strong message to him or a stern one that may get him out of whatever's, you know, causing issues to have these bonehead plays? Like, I question that part of it.
Well, I think you generally make mistakes when you're tired. I mean, you come into work and you're on the radio and you got 2 hours of sleep and you're stuttering, you're using the wrong words, you're losing your train of thought.
Right. It happens.
It just happens. I know it sounds like an excuse, and it kind of is, but I think the Giants are worn down. And I get it. This is from the 925 of the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Don't want to hear about how they're exhausted.
Man.
I'm exhausted working construction every day, making less. No fans want to hear that BS that they're tired.
Okay.
I get it.
Yeah, right. I get it, Steve.
Let me read this to you from the text line to Jim Olay, and you tell me what you think. Sorry to be picky, but don't the Giants have the worst record in baseball since the Devers trade? How would you respond to that, Evan, and whose doorstep is that on? Because to me, it's not 100% Melvin, but it's damn near 85. And if you want to give the other 15 to Buster, we can do that.
One sec. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live in the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. I don't know, Goo.
That's the theme of the Giants this year is nobody knows. And I feel like how Webb did it so well in regard to, we're getting the instruction. The manager's putting us in the right place. I'm paraphrasing. It's just on us. We're not getting it done. I feel like I haven't heard Melvin at his podium say that enough. And Evan, I know you're like, oh, come on, Guru, I don't believe you. But I feel like if he played that card after every game, to me, it would hit or resonate with me more than, I just don't know. I'm having meetings.
But you wouldn't.
Are you conducting the meetings the right way, or are you being the good cop to the guys when maybe you need to be a little bad cop to send a message to some of the guys?
But people would crush him for that too. Whenever you hear a manager or head coach say, "I don't know," that's a bad sign.
Yeah, and he's done it more than once. Well, I don't have the answers.
Well, no, he doesn't walk to the podium and just say every single day, "Well, I don't," you know. Like, he tries to explain it as best he can, and it comes off sounding, you know, absolutely idiotic sometimes, because how is he going to explain Ramos not knowing the infield fly rule? How is he without throwing his player under the bus? And that's something he's refused to do.
Or are you throwing yourself under the bus because he should know that?
He should know that.
Right.
A little leaguer should know that.
But isn't that on your manager for having a player?
No, that's on the player. That's for not knowing a rule in baseball.
But he did stick up for him. And on that front, I got to give Bo Mel that. I think he's doing it too much. But I could see how Ramos has Melvin's back, because he's had your back a few times.
Well, that exactly.
In the court of public, in the public forum.
Oh, yeah. No, your manager could bury you if he really wanted to. And I think he has done it behind the scenes. I think he has. I think he has said, yo, Ramos, can you please pull your head out of your you-know-what? Okay. Like, are you freaking kidding me? You're running into outs. You're giving away outs.
Right.
You're not producing.
Right. So you're giving Bowman. And I'm not saying you're wrong.
He might not undress him in front of the team, but there's no doubt in my mind that he's had a conversation with him about some of these mistakes, because you cannot let them go unanswered.
And the 650, Goo, you're blaming everyone but the players. No, I'm blaming the players too. But, you know, when I hear a skipper say, I'm at a loss, I don't have the answers more often than not, then, Evan, I'm like, how could you be so sure that that message is being done behind closed or given behind closed doors? That's all, just a thought.
Well, because they just told us yesterday in this piece, you know, he does yell at us. He does rip us. He just doesn't do it on the mic. And in fact, like, the response that Ramos and I think a lot of athletes should have in a situation like that where you're frustrated and you're starting to kind of drift into that,
Well,
the fans ain't on our side anymore kind of realm, is exactly what he did in his first at-bat. Like, you do have to give him some credit that after all this stuff goes down yesterday,
what if
and we're talking
him?
About it today, he hits a home run in his first at-bat.
Yeah. Two for five, no doubt.
Yeah, that's like, but that's the only way to go about it. You kind of have to put your head down and keep moving, which is, by the way, what Melvin has tried to keep preaching every single day. It just sounds stupid when you lose 15 of 16.
No doubt. Evan, it is, I believe, baseball fascinating that when this season is over and if it doesn't culminate with a playoff berth, if you had to bet now, we'll go Steiny like that. If you had to go to the window and say the Giants, it's up to Buster and company, but are they going to have a new skipper or not? Without seeing the rest of the season play out at this juncture, where are you leaning?
I don't know. Like,
that's how I feel every day. But Evan,
I think they're going to have a new skipper?
I do.
Right now, no, I don't. Mm. I don't. You know, like, what are you going to go get Skip Schumacher? You even know who that is?
I used to manage the Angels.
The Marlins.
Oh, okay.
But like, I think you might be thinking of Brad Ausmus.
The former catcher.
But that's my point. Like, Bruce Bochy isn't walking through that door, I don't believe. Yeah.
But like, a situation in Texas could be done. He could be had. I'm just throwing that out there.
They're in more of a playoff race than the Giants are.
I got you. But a lot of people in Texas are disappointed in this version of the Rangers this year. But you're right. They're still in contention. And to that point, the Giants are too.
So people are frustrated with Bruce Bochy. And he's going to come in. Like,
he's won a World Series in Texas. I'm not saying. I don't know.
So why would they be frustrated with him?
Because they're
he
not.
He just won two years ago.
Yeah. Man, Evan, things change. I mean, why did Kapler get fired? He won 107 and he was gone 2 years after.
Because he lost the clubhouse. Because his players were not willing to go to bat for him and he lost his clubhouse. That's why. That's why I think if I had to bet, I would bet on Melvin being back next season, because this is an admission from his own clubhouse that they don't think he's a problem. In fact, they like him.
I'll give you that. But
a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't, and I completely understand why. He's not people's cup of tea, and he doesn't show a pulse as much as people want, especially in baseball. But his players are telling you they don't think he's the problem. Kapler was the problem. I don't know. I mean, that's just...
The year after they won 107, that's all.
I think it was 2 years
after. Yeah, I got you. But you know what I mean, Ev? Like, 107, damn, that's a lot of games with platooning left, right, like... Yeah, we crap on Kapler and his muscles. And Evan, I believe the dude was had the great body and physique that he was getting hated on. I'm not dare saying to you all that he didn't lose the clubhouse, but damn, he must have really lost that clubhouse to go from 107 and then that be the reason you get ran. I'll just say that.
And this is from the 707. Yeah. Then what is Bob's job? His job is to win, and he hasn't been doing it.
He had way more talent than Kapler had, especially since. I guess I'm just paralyzed by the mentally paralyzed by the acquisition and the euphoria, the party, the excitement, just everything that went into that announcement of Devers coming to this team, and then since that juncture, guys, them having the worst record in baseball. Like, Evan, forget Melvin. Make that make sense to me.
I can't. If I could, I would be managing the San Francisco Giants. If anybody could
throw this ball through the window where kids at, like, but there's an answer somewhere.
No, there's not. No, there's not. There is no answer. If there was an answer, someone would have found it. I swear to God.
Is there a price to be paid then? Because if there's no answer, there's a price for nobody not knowing the answer.
Okay, so
I hit the desk.
Well, guys have been traded. There was a price. You sold. You sold at the deadline. I mean, you forfeited your best chance to make the postseason. Or I should say,
I get that. That didn't help.
Yeah, you limited yourself. Traded your closer, your second best reliever, maybe your best reliever on some nights, and you traded your starting right fielder. Like that's the consequence, is that you didn't give yourself the best chance to make the playoffs.
Oh, man. And that was...
And now you're relying on Drew Gilbert and Tyler Fitzgerald.
And let's be honest, I love Rodriguez, but I can say, you can tell, brother working it out. Evan, he got the save last night, but he is not automatic like he had been when they had the bullpen set up with Rodgers, Doval. Like, last night, I didn't know if they were going to get through that one. They did, but you're right. Things have changed, and I guess that was a version from Posey of a white flag by letting the strength of your team... two-thirds of it go.
I mean, to me, if this team somehow did make a push,
give it to me.
That's on the players. That's not on Melvin is turning this ship around. I would say these players found something that hadn't been there for a couple months. I mean, this team has played some awful baseball. Some god-awful baseball.
Yeah, you can lose, Evan, and then you can lose the way they've been losing. And
they
can't hit.
Yeah. They can't pitch. Some days they can't field. Some days they can't run the bases. And it's been something different every single day, it feels like, outside of the last 2 days. Well, the last 2 nights, really.
So, somebody here, Evan, the 415. Goose, serious question. If you were to swap Melvin and Dave Roberts with the Giants and Dodgers, would they be in any different position that they are now? And I love questions like this. I'll say this to that. I do know the Dodgers have a right field problem, and last night it bit them in the butt, and they had a closed-door meeting with Mookie Betts and Dave Roberts, and they watched film. And I'm just saying, I'm not saying Melvin's not doing that, but, Evan, that's the type of stuff I like to see, to where maybe Mookie goes back to right field. I don't know what's going on with our guy out there who's a right fielder for him now. Not much defense. He can hit Teoscar. So I'm just wondering, like I don't know if that's going to work and help the Dodgers, but I like the public display of it ain't good enough, it ain't suffice, and the world's going to know we chopped it up about whatever to try to get that change. I don't know if I see a lot of that with the Giants.
Well, they got a lot more issues than just their right fielder. I mean, it's not just one position with them. It's not just one aspect of the game.
But it's bonehead plays by one guy that never got sat, Ramos. And again, of course, he's going to stick up for the manager publicly, but I just wonder. And to the answer to that question, I don't know.
I really don't think they would be in that much different of a situation if Dave Roberts was their manager. I mean, shoot, you hear Dodgers fans every single postseason that they don't win with the best team. Roberts doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah. Roberts is doing this. Roberts is pulling those straight. Like, whenever you don't win, people get pissed. And whenever you don't win for a long period of time, it's really hard to come up with an excuse or an answer that people are going to be satisfied with. It just is. Oh, all right, Gil.
I love you.
I know, I'm with you.
And I got to let you know, don't let me forget, Ken, Evan, why I'm a little mad at you. Something happened last
right after
night.
You say you love me. Yeah, it goes both ways.
I got to bring it up.
It goes both ways. This is from the 509. I think this is kind of what you're talking about, too. Yeah, Evan, but players lie, too. I think the players think that Bob Melvin is a nice guy, so they don't want to say anything bad about him. But I don't think the players think that Melvin can lead them to where they want to go. I feel the same is true for Kyle Shanahan. The players think that he's a nice guy, so they don't want to say anything bad about him. But behind the scenes, they've lost confidence in him.
But he took him to 2 Super Bowls.
I think it's a little different.
No, Evan, man.
All these things happen.
He got 2 NFC Championship victories and 10 minutes away from 2 Super Bowl victories.
We weren't able to get it done.
No, that's a fact.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to kind of explore that on the other side, too. Again, like...
What are you looking for?
I want to know. Seriously, I do want to know. Because to me, there are few head coaches and managers in this Bay Area. And for a lot of people, they ain't getting it done. And if you look at it on the other side of things, I think there might be a lot more there than people are giving them credit for. But maybe that's just me. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Gruber Johnson. That segment was brought to you by Safeway.
They got cheese in the truck. I asked for cheese on the taco, and they put it on.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I'll never run from that one, E.
I'm
taco
with you.
Ain't a taco if it ain't got the cheese, the cheddar.
And the people are on your side sometimes.
Yeah.
You win the crowd, You win your freedom.
But if you were Ramos, how would you have...
Proximo.
If somebody said, what's wrong with your team, Evan? How would you have answered it? Honestly, I'm Daryl
the Guru Johnson,
95-7 the game. Evan, get Eddie Ramos. What's going on with this team in your play in particular?
Well, Mr. Johnson, esteemed reporter of the San Francisco Chronicle.
Guru Gazette.
Of the Guru Gazette. I love that. That's a four. Well, honestly, we haven't been able to string good games together. You know, we haven't played nine innings of crisp, sound, solid baseball. The other night, we get seven shutout from our future Hall of Famer, and we can't keep the lead.
Why?
I'm not getting hits at the plate when I need to get hits.
Why? Is that your manager? What's going on? Why can't you guys do that?
Just not seeing the ball well right now. You know, sometimes it looks like a beach ball. Right now, it looks like a golf ball, and I'm swinging a broomstick, and I'm having trouble. I'm going through it right now, but I'm going to go out there tomorrow, bust my ass as hard as I can just to try and help my team get a win, because that's all we can do. We got 162 of these things, and just because we stunk today doesn't mean we can't be great tomorrow.
Can I ask you this, Evan? How about the toolage and instruction? Are you getting that from your manager and coaches?
Well, I got that in rookie ball. I got that in single A. I got that in double A. But now it's my time to shine because I'm making millions of dollars and they're paying me to hit. And I'm not hitting. I'm just not hitting.
Bravo. I mean, that's it. Ramos, if you're listening, like, that is it, E.
And the fans are on me and I can't stand them.
Well, see, and that's where you get in trouble. But Clay Thompson, I just keep real quick, Evan. He was in a dark place dealing with all
Clay.
So no. I'm sorry. I gave him a hall pass for that, man. He and then he had to watch Jordan Poole blow up, get paid. That's neither here nor there, but that doesn't go away. And that's why he snapped at the fans on that soundbite we played last segment. But man, that's as dark as I believe it gets.
Yeah.
Icon here.
Because he knew that his time in Golden State was coming to a close. He knew that
You think fans turned on me?
A few of them.
So, yeah, no doubt.
I mean, I think now, a couple years removed, people understand that Clay is what he is. Like, he's a Golden State Warrior for life. He's a legend. Every time he comes here, he's going to get cheers. I don't think he'll get jeered. And even his return to Golden State last year, that game was incredible. Yeah, the energy in that place was maybe the highest I've seen it since the finals. I mean, it was... That was a rocking building in November.
Yeah.
And he deserved it. You know, that's the kind of applause I think that he's going to get every time he comes back, but it doesn't take away from the fact that, and again, that's kind of the point of this, is moving forward, Ramos is going to play hard, and he's going to try and help the Giants win, and he's going to try and do what he did last night, go 2-for-5, help him get a dub. But, you know, again, that's a piece of now his career in San Francisco. Just like Clay saying this in response to ask about being booed.
Clay, you guys have been booed each of the last two home games. Obviously, you're not used to that. How do you handle that?
Are you supposed to lose sleep over it?
Like, that's something that people will remember.
Clay, yeah, you're supposed you don't like, but he was bitter, Bob, and we get it now.
Yeah, he was bitter.
Yeah,
this is not, just like I think we heard a little bit of the bitterness that Ramos was harboring towards the fans. It was extracted. He was asked about the manager, and he came down the road of the people that are still showing up despite this team not playing well.
Now, we keep it real here, 10-2, Evan. Do you think somebody pulled him aside to kind of fix that message that he said before the ball game last night? Do you think that was natural and organic by him to say, oh, boy, I kind of went down the wrong road? Or do you think an OG, even Webb for that matter, pulled him aside? Hey, youngster, let me tell you how this ain't good.
No, I think someone from the PR team went to him.
PR team.
And said basically, hey, this doesn't read well.
Right.
And I just want to ask you if you'd like to clarify your comments. Because, there's media scrum before the game. And if you want to get out ahead of this, because he was going to be asked about it at some point.
And I was curious if Melvin got asked before he fixed it, what Melvin would have said about it. Well, he's just frustrated. And you know what I mean? Like, that's where my mind went. Like, damn, how would Bob respond to what?
I don't think he would have thrown him under the bus. Like, I just don't.
Well, he's frustrated, guys, and I understand why, you know.
I mean, I don't know about you.
I have nothing against Bo Mel personally, Evan.
No,
I just want some more passion.
And we're kind of, you know, transitioning to a place where we can discuss just kind of what you want from your head coaches, from your managers. Because to me, like, when I was looking at the three guys in the Bay Area Steve Kerr to me is he's kind of an emotional leader.
I love it.
And I think Bob Melvin is somewhat of an emotionless leader. Still a leader. That's just not his style. And Kyle Shanahan, he's kind of robotic. And I know all sports are different and have different demands of the people who preside over these teams, but of all three, Kyle Shanahan is the most, I guess, cold, maybe is the word.
Can I call him Darth Vader?
He's still effective, though.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's a great head coach.
And even when we thought Kyle had problems, Evan, and I told you and Stoney this ad nauseum, I feel like even the Richard Shermans of the world, nobody outside of our guy walking off the field, which was so weak at the Thursday night against the Rams. But, Evan, I don't feel like one player has thrown Kyle under the bus. And I give him all the credit in the world. I do feel like there's that Darth Vader to his persona to where he don't have to say much, but there is that, you got to go out to Star Wars. You got to go and keep thinking that. Like,
James Earl Jones.
All right, help me out. Rest in peace. But there is something to that, and that's why you reach the heights that they've reached. You know, yeah, they haven't got it done, and I blame Kyle a lot of the times because of that, but I can't sit up here and ignore that they haven't been Billy Badass for a while and gotten the two Super Bowls. So I think whatever Kyle's doing, it's effective.
Well, I think that's really what it comes down to is just the results. Like if Bob Melvin was emotionless at the mic, but he'd won a World Series, I really don't think people would care. But he hasn't, and his teams have. I think the furthest he's gotten was the NLCS the first year he was in San Diego.
And then they fell off with that tier of talent. Well, you said the year that they went that they didn't have Tatis. So he comes back and it falls off. So I'll just leave that there. But I guess some of the great ones, the Phil Jacksons, like Dale Harris got ran and he couldn't control what was going on with the Lakers. But Phil, forget his X's and O's in the triangle, I believe, Evan. And that could be in fairy tale land. To me, when I think of Phil Jackson, that's the dude that could go Maury Povich and Dr. Phil and get Shaq and Kobe to fix it. And you know, in 1 year against Detroit 04, it didn't work. But that stuff is, like, everybody doesn't have that. And that's why I hated that Harbaugh got fired, because I think he's one of those guys. And lo and behold, look what he's done with the Chargers and Baldy was on with the Morning Roast this morning talking about how soft they were under Staley. And then in year one, here comes Harbaugh, kind of a man's man, Evan, not perfect, and they have some success. Like it matters, man.
Well, he's had success everywhere he's gone, but he's also burnt a ton of bridges. Yeah. You know, he's kind of like Jimmy Butler. You know, Jimmy Butler's produced immediate results every single place that he's gone. And then when he leaves, it's like nobody has anything nice to say about him. But it doesn't take away from the fact that I think for every fan base that he's everybody
San Diego
likes
State,
him.
Yeah.
but that's again why the results to fans are really the only thing that matters, and why I don't think they want to hear the excuses from whether it's Melvin or Ramos or Webb or whoever. They don't want to hear excuses. They just want their teams to win.
Is it fair or foul that on this day I bring up, forget San Diego and Melvin, the Oakland A's and Melvin, and they had a lot of success. And I think of that wild card game in Kansas City where they blew a 6-run lead. Is it fair to say, and I know they ran into Verlander-led teams, Evan, Detroit, Cabrera company, but is it fair to say that A's team under Melvin left some meat on the bone? I do. Not saying it was all his fault, but I do.
I mean, maybe. Look, they lost 3 wild card games, which was just one single game elimination. And I don't think they ever lost to a team that was worse than them.
Because the Royals went on to lose to the Giants in the World Series.
Yeah, they made the World Series. But they also, I mean, the Tigers in 12 made the World Series. I think in 2013 they lost in the next round. But the point is, they never beat a team that was better than them, which is the hallmark of a great group. Like, that's what the Giants built their dynasty on. I don't think anybody ever went into those playoff series feeling like the Giants were world beaters.
And that's why it was miraculous, no doubt,
But that's what separates the Bruce Bochys from the Bob Melvins. And I do think that every single manager that's brought in, at least in recent memory, is held to that standard. And I do think that's a bit unfair, because Bruce Bochy is one of the greatest managers in the history of Major League Baseball.
I believe that, no doubt.
He has 4 championships, and all 4 of the teams that he's managed in some series on their path to victory, faced teams that were better than them on paper.
Well, great point.
And that's what separates the good from the greats. You know, and you don't get to just have a great manager or a great left fielder or a great shortstop all the time. That's what makes them special. And I think that Kapler was pretty average. Bob Melvin might be at this stage in his career an average manager, but he's trying to do the best he can with a group of with a talent pool that we're beginning to learn is actually not that talented, or at least is worn down to the point where they look mid. And they've looked worse than mid for like 2 months.
So do you, and real quick here, do you look at Adames differently? Like I'm not out on Adames, and I damn sure I'm not out on Devers and Matt Chapman. Okay, you got to have the bounce back, but you've been injured or whatnot. No excuses. But the bottom line, Evan, when you say that, I'm still thinking the big three. There's a big three here. It might not be the greatest big three, but it's better than a lot of clubs, and the results should be better than what they've been. So, like, when you look at Adames' year thus far, are you out on him, or do you still hold him in the regard that I had when I got excited that the Giants, Bruster was bringing him to town?
I mean, his first year as a whole has been disappointing considering some of the numbers across his career that he's put up. But I got to say that I've gained a ton of respect for Willy Adames over the course of this season,
and
because he's been the same person.
Remember, I thought it was phony early. He's trying to fool us.
And I told you this earlier. I'll say it again. He would never say what Elliot Ramos said, man. Because he's someone that when things are going bad, and at every stage of his year, when he had an OPS of 550 or he had an OPS of 1,000 in the month of July, he always kept it about the team.
No doubt, man.
And he always kept it about himself.
I apologize to him, too.
It was never on anybody else but him when he was doing poorly, and it was never about him when he was doing good and the team was doing bad. Willy Adames is a pro's pro.
Yeah.
And that's why I think that if I'm the Giants, yes, his first season has been a bit disappointing, but I don't think you regret that contract. I don't.
And then what about the, again, I'm going to say it, I'm not saying is there buyer's remorse in regard to Chapman, but you look at the heirs, do you blame that all on injury? Because they're there with him, and we're typically not, that's not part of his DNA. What are your thoughts on Chapman? Like, Evan, what if I say with the glove, I think he's taking a step back this year? Just a tad bit, not why they're three games under 500, but if you look, I'm like, okay.
Well, but taking a step back from being maybe the best defender in the National League is not that big of a step. You know what I mean? Like, he's still a...
But moving forward...
He's still the best defensive third baseman in baseball, and he's still going to hit 20 home runs this year, which is kind of what he's done the past few seasons.
So you're not concerned about him at all?
Well, I would be. The fact that he's starting to miss more games and he's getting into his mid-30s, still under contract for four more years.
Yeah,
I would be. I would be a little wary of that. And to the 209, Adames is not worthy of the overpay. That's fair, but I also think
we're in year one of it. That's all.
Well,
I got you.
I think he could also bounce back and have a better year next year. But again, like I do think that the clubhouse is important, and to me, that's where Willy Adames, his impact is felt, and I think that is necessary, especially on a team that's trying to develop an identity. And Adames, look, you know, you could also say he hasn't done a good enough job in that regard because the team is completely spiraled out of control.
And man, Evan, to that point, I'll say this. I think of your mom and dad, who I had the pleasure of meeting, friends. But I have some friends in my life that parent differently. Evan, they say my job is not to be my friend, my kid's friend. So that lets you know whatever they're doing is for the betterment of the kid, even if they agree with it or not. And then you got others to do it differently, and there's a fine medium. But I guess I'm bringing this up because you are right. Right now, all the kudos coming out of the Giants clubhouse is the players have Bob's back, and I do wonder from afar if it's bigger than that and Buster's like, this can't happen. This can't happen. This shouldn't be happening. This has gone on too long. So I know the kids, I'm calling them children in this instance, they want Bo Mel back. But for the betterment of winning and the club, we got to bring a different voice in here. Like, it could be something like that popping off, or just a question that Posey is pondering.
Possibly. 888-957-9570 if you want to get in on the conversation. Also, number for the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Let's go down to Santa Clara and talk to Mike. Mike, what's up, man? Good morning. How we doing?
What's up, guys? Good morning to you as well. Yeah, I just want to talk about this this whole Giants situation. Look, you know, we already know this season's a wash. I still have, you know, I'm not going against anything that Buster has done. Buster has done, let's be honest, he's done a hell of a lot more than what Farhan had did, you know, with the Giants already. And my opinion is that, yeah, it's a wash this season, but you also need to get the team chemistry as well into it. And a lot of these guys have not played together, you know, in a full season. And so I think this year is just kind of like a learning curve of also doing that, but also just getting used to the ballpark. I mean, we have one of the hardest, if not the hardest, ballpark to actually hit in. Do I think that Pat Burrell needs to go? I believe that he needs to go. We need a new hitting coach as well in that phase. But, you know, we also made a lot of moves in this case that Buster was also going through. I also do agree with you, E, that, you know, Willy Adames is a clubhouse guy. He is a voice that is of team camaraderie and everything. He is someone that is a person that just brings a better culture to the actual team and to just like the organization and the Bay Area. I love Willie. I don't want to see him go anywhere, so I don't regret the contract whatsoever. The Devers factor, you know, again, like I said, it all comes down to just washing this year, getting used to the ballpark, as well as just, you know, this resetting. And who knows what the hell we're going to do during the offseason? Who knows? We might end up getting some more. We might get another bat. Who knows what happens with Bryce Eldridge? We also don't know what's going to happen with the pitching situation. We could bring someone else in. So I'm looking more forward to the offseason at this point. I'm still going to go to a couple Giants games this year just to kind of just, you know, get my daughter used to baseball. But, you know, at the same time, you know, just move forward from it and just get ready for the next season, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of fans like Mike that are still going to show up to games, that are still going out there, and obviously evidenced by 38,000 on Sunday after you get just basically swamped. And thanks for the call, Mike, across an entire homestand. Those fans, haven't given up. And I really don't know why.
And I'm going to say this, and, you know, 37 games left, Evan, 5.5 back. I gotta say this, E. The math is still there. So our own Mark Willard shared with us, and I'm paraphrasing, like, Evan, the Giant games weren't appointment TV like they were, as if they were 10 out, and that's his prerogative. But E, anything can happen. And what if this team were to, I get it, it's highly unlikely, but what if they went 8 out of 10, which can happen, and then they're 2 or 1 game and a half out? Then, you know, for the people that say they're done or I'm not watching, you'll be, what's Tony Montana, you'll be back, she'll be back. But that's, I'm like, that's on the table. It's not mathematically impossible.
It's not mathematically impossible, but
Evan, I'm not trying to sell you. I'm not a Kirby salesman at your door, but I'm just looking like, okay, 5.5 games. And Ken, I told you, and I patted myself on the back for the instruction I gave Friday. It's not you need 8 teams to lose at once. You need the Mets to lose, who occupy that third spot. Then if somebody passes them, whoever's in that slot, that's who you need to lose. So crazier things have happened, E. 37 games, but you got to win yours first. I get it. Just throwing that out there.
Goo, I wish I had your level of optimism. Just in general.
Evan, I come from an era with Steiny when there were four division winners and there was no wild card. And if you were in September 1st going into the last month, 9 out, but Daryl felt like you had action with 30 days left. Like, that's my metric.
So you're going to wait for them to be mathematically eliminated
that's
before
when I give
you call
up.
The dog?
No, no doubt. Like, is it not appointment baseball for you right now? Are you like, Padres? Like, I'm still watching.
Well, yeah, I'll watch the games because I like to watch baseball, but not because I expect the Giants to turn into a butterfly.
Now, I'm not saying that, but if they did, that's all, Evan. They got time. Yeah, they're in the jar right now, Kenny.
I'm not saying
they're
they will.
They're in the jar, but if they...
But what happens?
Sports are crazy, man. That's all, and they got to handle their business.
Solar eclipse hits the Giants.
Now, let's say this. What if they get hot and then I come in here, crack open the mic and tell you, okay, Bo Mel, lightweight, he saved his job. If it were any thoughts of, like, all that stuff is on the table, I believe.
So is the only, like, all right, let's say they win 8 of 10 and they're 2.5 back.
Okay.
They missed the playoffs by 2.5 games.
I honestly believe that could change what we've seen, the 14 out of 16 or whatnot. Like, that means something for the future. Forget Bo Mel, whoever the manager were at this time, having what we deem a disappointing season with this tier of talent collectively, what I assume tier of talent collectively, I think that carries weight.
I think what we heard from the players carries weight to me. You know, and to me, this San Francisco Giants season, and it's been about the players. And I'm not saying that the players should get to make the choice about, you know, who their leader is, but these guys, they still have confidence in them. And if they are, then I have to. Mm. Because I think they also believe that they have let him down. That's what I'm also hearing from the Webbs, the Chapmans, the Ramoses, regardless of the fans and some of the blowback that Elliott is receiving because of his comments. They feel like they've let Bob Melvin down. And I think he feels the same towards them.
I'm not mad at that.
That's how you lose 15 of 16, is everybody lets each other down at home. You cannot have that long of a period of stretch and not feel like, well, it's not my fault.
And that's why, Evan, to that point, I do question, are the right conversations being had when that bad of a stretch, and obviously they're taking ownership, but if that bad of a stretch can last that long, are we having the right, is it fair to ask, are you having the right conversations behind closed doors? But if you're saying it's just all about playing,
well, I don't even
players,
know what the right conversation is. I'm sure they've had every single conversation they possibly could think of. A couple of pieces of 49ers news, Goo, as well. All right, the Niners have signed quarterback Nate Sudfeld.
They got rid of Nate.
For Brock Purdy, they did. And also, some tough news, Niners placed running back Patrick Taylor Jr., who injured his shoulder on Saturday against the Raiders, on injured reserve. He's going to miss the season.
Evan, just
dislocated his shoulder.
Evan,
put him on
season-ending
IR.
Oh, that's got to stink for him. Like, how do you bounce back from that, man?
Well, hopefully next season, yeah. But they're down another running back.
Wow.
888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Matt Stein. That's with Daryl the Guru Johnson. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. That segment was brought to you by Cars for Kids, Cars with a K.